Well, that was quite an introduction, wasn't it? And that is true. You know, sometimes the Lord just tells you something out of the blue. Can you bring me down just a little bit, please? That would be great. And just randomly share stuff with you. And I just want to encourage you, it's going to go along with my message today, trust the Holy Spirit in you. That's the title of my message today. I think sometimes we don't. I think sometimes we look for him in other people. And sometimes we expect him to be out there somewhere. And if we just act just right, do just right, behave just right, then maybe, you know, he will favor us somehow. And I just want to let you know, I'm going to go through some scriptures today. That's just not the reality. It might be your reality, but it's not his reality. He is with you always, even until the end of this age. So we're going to look at some verses. So if you have a personal Bible, go ahead and open it up. As I teach in healing school, when you see it in your Bible, it sticks deeper in your heart. Amen? When you see it on the screen, that's good. But when you see it in your Bible, that's even more. What are you telling me?
Janice Stone
has lights on in her car. Janice, are you here? No, she's not in the room. Maybe she's downstairs. Okay, as we continue on. Are you guys in the room with me?
Yes.
That's weak. Are you guys in the room with me?
Yes.
Okay, good. We're going to bring it back home again. Praise God. All right, get your Bibles out. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today. You know, the Holy Spirit, just to remind you, I know you know this, but I'm just going to remind you of some things. Do you know he's God on the planet? He's God on the planet. So he's the one that is always here. Now, is he a person? Yes, he is. He's not a person like you or like me, as the way that you might associate yourself as a person. But he is. He's everywhere always. He's always been. He always will be. And he's with you and I. And he can be with you, completely with you. At the same time, he can be completely with me, or with you, or with you. He has that ability to be with everyone, always, at all times. And he is. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing that God is with us all, always. So let's look at some verses. Go with me to the book of John. I'm going to start in John 14, and I'm going to share three verses with you to teach you about how Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit to us. So in John 14, I want to start in verse 16 and 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 14, verse 16 and 17. So it's on the screen if you haven't found it or don't have a Bible. And you can follow me. We're doing the New King James Version. It says, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." So what Jesus is doing is, Jesus is now at the end of his ministry. He's walked on the earth. He's trained his disciples. He's done healings, miracles, raised people from the dead, turned water into wine, walked on the water. He has done all kinds of miraculous things manifesting who he is. And he got really close to these guys. And they really, really loved him and listened and hung on every word he said as he was teaching them and comforting them when they were in strange circumstances and situations that they were not comfortable with, because Jesus was at a different level. He was bringing our minds up higher than what we would do all by ourselves together. He's showing us about the Father on a level that we do not operate on as natural men and women. And so they were hanging on every word and were constantly wrestling with themselves. What's he saying? I don't want to ask him. You ask him. I don't want to ask him. What's he talking about right now? And he says, have I been with you so long? Really? Okay, this is what it is. And he'll explain it again to them. And so they had really gotten comfortable being with Jesus and being taught and trained by Jesus. But now he's getting ready to leave, and he's telling them he's getting ready to go. And he's going to have to die for the sins of the world. And so now this is the last message that he has for his disciples. Okay? So he's going to tell them the most important things that they need to know right now in these verses. So let's start again on verse 16, and let's look at what he's telling them. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Someone just like me, what I was doing with you, he's going to give you somebody else that'll do that. That he may abide with you as long as you behave right. No? Oh, forever. Forever. How about that? Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is, Jesus released the Holy Spirit to come to the earth, and he's now with us, and he's the Spirit of what? So does he lie? Are you sure? Does he mislead you? Does he do practical jokes? How about, he just omits some really important details from time to time. No. Can we trust him? We can trust him. Let's go to chapter 15 as Jesus is going on his dissertation with his disciples. 15:26. The next chapter over. It says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father. What's he going to do? It says, he shall testify of me. So let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself, just to let you know. He doesn't bring glories to himself. He's not going to say, you need to pay attention to me. I need you to listen to me right now. He doesn't do that stuff. What he does is he glorifies Jesus. Okay? He doesn't bring attention to himself. He's there to teach you and to comfort you and to guide you into everything you need to know how to be more like Jesus. So he's training you. Next verse. Go to chapter 16. There's four verses in 16 speaking about the same thing, that he's the Spirit of truth. 16:12, 13, 14, and 15. All right, it's up on the screen. No, it's not. John 16:12. I'm going to just read it to you. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So he's saying that he's not going to talk about himself, but he is going to show you things to come. So he's going to tap into the spiritual revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, because he's there with them, even though he's here with us, and he's going to show us those things. So this is the Holy Spirit who's in you. And we need to trust him that he's going to tell you the truth, he's going to lead you, he's going to comfort you when you get into that nervous terrain wherever God has you go, he's going to be there for you. And he's going to show you the things that there's no way you can know by yourself. Okay? So that's the God who's with you right now. I'm going to jump ahead to a verse that I wasn't going to share, but I want to share it. It might not be up there. It's Matthew 10:26 through 28. When I read this when I was a new Christian, it scared the devil out of me. I want to let you know, it really scared the devil out of me. My knees were knocking and I was very worried. Okay? And I'm not using this verse to worry anyone. I want to make a point in it. So I'm going to read Matthew 10, 26, 27, and 28. It says this. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and his disciples, okay? And this is what he says. Fear them not, therefore. I think I wrote this in King James, I'm sorry. Fear them not, therefore, and there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be made known. In other words, there's nothing that's hidden that he's not going to show to everybody. What I tell you in the darkness, that you speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. So what he's saying is, when the Holy Spirit starts talking to you and telling you to say stuff, he really wants you to explain it out, to talk it out, to share it, to preach it. Don't hold back and don't worry about any of it. Don't worry about people is basically what he's saying. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit who our allegiance is to, the revelation of Jesus Christ that we're going to share with the people around us. All right? Look at this verse, 28. And fear not them which what? Can kill the body. I'm going to read it up here. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I don't use that verse to scare you, but if you're not saved, you should be scared. Only because, see, so many of us, so many of you and me, we think about ourselves as our body, as our flesh person. And so many things, we apply ourselves in circumstances according to the flesh. And we see ourselves according to the flesh, and we see them according to the flesh, and we think we are dealing with them flesh to flesh. And then it's a struggle, it's a tussle. Who's more intelligent? Who's stronger? Who's more politically correct? Who's more on the in crowd? And all these things start going on. Well, I don't have to listen. You're too young. I don't have to listen to anything you say. I've got way more years on you. I've been educated. I've gone to college, university. You haven't even finished the eighth grade. All these things we do to one another. But what God is trying to point out right here is don't be afraid of people, because all they can do is kill your body. I thought it'd go over like that. Are you your body? No. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and it lives in a body. You need a body to be on the earth. But I promise you, every one of you who's born again, raise your hand. Who believes they're going to be in heaven? Okay. You're going to be in heaven up there, you guys up there too? Okay. I want to make sure everybody says they're going to be in heaven. Then, is your body going to heaven? You are. So then when you're talking to other people, who's talking to them? The flesh that has history of the past, or the spirit who is of God? Who's talking to them? It's the Holy Spirit of God who should be leading us in our conversations. We forget. We all forget. We drop down into the flesh, into our natural relationships, and we bebop around. I know that's old vernacular, but I'm old. I was going to say, Pastor Trey, I approached him in the bathroom when I was young and dumb. I just want to let you know, I'm not young anymore. That's as much as I'm going to say. So, praise the Lord. So, what he's saying here in this verse is that you are more than your body. And that when we stand before the Lord, it's not about your body. You're going to give an account what you do in your body, but that's not who's going to stand before the Lord. It's you. And your identity is in your soul. It is. And that's why we renew our mind and we become new creations and we start learning how to behave as Jesus on the earth. Who teaches us how to be Jesus on the earth? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the truth. Okay, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit a little bit more then. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would come and go. Okay? That's why David cried out and said, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. because the Holy Spirit would descend from heaven on men, and they would prophesy and do wondrous works. And they would have these moments and these times that God was on them and moving through them. And they were demonstrating the power of God on the earth during those moments. But he would leave. He wasn't with them always. But with you, it's a different story. When Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, listen, this is a promise that the entire Old Testament was waiting for. That's the thing that they were waiting for, was the Holy Spirit to be restored to man and never leave us again. Never leave us again. And so this is the promise that was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. He was resurrected into heaven to see his heavenly Father. He spent 3 days with his Father and under the earth ministering to those who are captive under the earth. And then he went back into his body. What? Wait a minute. Back up. He went back into his body. He went back into his body and then arose on the third day. Body and spirit man together. Are you with me? For 3 days, he wasn't in his body. He was doing other work. You read it, right? You've heard it, right? But sometimes we don't click that we're more than our body, because our body is our feeler. It's the thing that has been the history. It's the thing that we were identified with, and our parents identified with it, and everything in this world identified with it. But God says you're not that anymore. That's why you have the Holy Spirit, to teach you who you really are and then demonstrate the things of the kingdom of God through you to others. Are you with me? Yeah. So it's about Jesus, not the Holy Spirit, but it is about the Holy Spirit, but it's about the Jesus, right? But it's about Jesus, but it's not about Jesus, it's about the Father. Because Jesus did it so that he can collect all of us to take us to the Father and present us, right? As a bride. Yes or no? Amen. So it's about the Father, it's about Jesus, it's about the Holy Spirit. All of them are one. And when they're in you, you're one with them. We need to renew our minds to this. We've got to stay in the Scriptures and in fellowship with our Heavenly Father so that His Spirit can teach and train us the truth about ourselves. Okay? You are not alone in this world. So, I'm going to read a couple of verses, then I'm going to show this to you. What is that? Second Corinthians 1, verse 20 through 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. It says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen." That means if God promised it to you and you want it, it's yes. If you want it, he only gives you one answer: yes and amen. So be it. It's firm, it's yours, you can trust it. Yes, to the glory of God through us. What? That brings God glory when we manifest the promises of God. It brings him glory. When you manifest the promises of God, it brings him glory. 21. Now he who established us with you is Christ, and has what? Anointed us is God. So now he's saying that you're anointed. Going on. Verse 22. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts. What? As a guarantee. So, he sealed us and given his Holy Spirit to us, in us, as a guarantee. That's his promise of his promise. It's like earnest money. When you buy a house, you get the down payment, and you give them the down payment. By giving them that down payment, you're saying, I am possessing this home. So God gave us the down payment of the Holy Spirit because he's going to fully possess you at some point. He's going to give you the whole enchilada. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. So wait a minute. This sounds like right at the beginning of the relationship with God. So it's soon as they heard the gospel and they believed it, this happened to them. What happened? They were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let me read one more. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, just a few pages over, verse 30. Does the Holy Spirit have feelings? He's not just electricity. He's just not power. He's a person. And he's a very pure, undefiled, clean, holy person. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were what? Sealed for the day of redemption. So we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's three verses that are telling you that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means he's not going to come on you, and then when you behave badly, he's going to leave. No. He decided that when he comes to you, he will forever not only be with you, but envelop you. That what he does now is for all time. Get this in your brain, because so often we look at ourselves according to the flesh and blood person, and we deal with other people according to their flesh and blood person. We have to rise up and let the Holy Spirit speak to us and teach us, how do I reach this person right in front of me, Father? So, my visual aid. What is this? It's an envelope. And what do you do with envelopes? You seal them with what? Something on the inside. How could that happen? Because it's not sealed. Because it wasn't sealed. It has to be sealed. So when you got born again, you not only got God in you, but you got placed in God. And what he did was he took it, and he took the Holy Spirit and gave him to you and I and sealed us in the Holy Spirit. Okay? And when you believed God, you got sealed in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're not coming out. Now, can you see what's in here? No. Why not? Because it's sealed in the envelope. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. Now, when God looks at you, who does he look at? Who does this belong to? Jesus. This belongs to Jesus. Now, it's his name that is written on this. Get this. His name is written on you. You became his property. He purchased you with his own blood. He took captivity captive, it says in Ephesians. He took you from being in bondage to owning you into freedom. So now, when the devil looks at you, who does he see? Jesus. You got to get that. When you see verses in the Bible that says, you have become the righteousness of God. He gave you his own righteousness. This righteousness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Wash our minds. We need a new mind. Not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Are you with me? So you are sealed in this. Even if you turn it upside down, it doesn't come out anymore. and that until the end of the age. All right? It's not just you and I. It's all future generations, if there are any. Did you catch that? Okay. So now that you're sealed in the Holy Spirit, and He's your comforter, and He's your guide, and He's showing you things you didn't know before, and He's teaching you about Jesus, what else did He do? What does this Holy Spirit who's in me do? Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 3. We're just going to jump in the middle of it. So Paul's praying a prayer for each and every one of us, and he mentions the Holy Spirit in this prayer. And it says, I'm going to read all of this. It's not going to be up on the screen, so I'm just going to read 14 through. It says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Named. "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with dunamis power, miracle-working ability, strength, power." Where? "Through His Spirit in your inner man." So, according to the riches of God's glory. That means, in earthly vernacular, according to how much I have is how much you get. However much I have, I'm giving it to you. According to my riches, in my glory, which is my wealth and my strength and my radiant splendor, what I am, I'm giving it to you in the measure that I have to strengthen you with miracle working strength and ability on your inside person. Which person is that? Is that the body or the inner person that has everlasting life? The inner person that has everlasting life. So we're going to be strengthened with power through our inner person. Let's go on. So sometimes, as we're facing other people in our lives, we get a little bit worried, wary, concerned. Some of us are even considered ourselves to be shy or uneducated, or we don't have the ability or the experience, and so fear kind of gets us a little bit, and we don't talk to other people about God because we're looking at ourselves how? According to the flesh. But if we look at ourselves according to the Spirit, the scary verse that I said, don't fear them that can kill your body. So I'm going to read some verses to you, having that verse in mind, that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Because so many times when God says, "What can man do to you?" you're thinking about your body. He's not. He's thinking about the real you when he says that. So let's look at these verses. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such as things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" 6. "So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Well, he can beat me. He can bruise me. He can make me bleed. He can break my bones. He can imprison me. He can starve me. Man, he can do a lot of stuff. Yes, if you're looking according to the flesh. But if you remember Paul, he was beaten with rods. He was left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by poisonous snakes. He had all kinds of issues. Do you think he was worried about his body? Did he feel pain? Did he look forward to being hurt? Absolutely not. But he understood that he's more than his body, and the people that are doing those things to him are more important. When Jesus died on the cross and the Roman soldiers were gambling for his clothes and they had spiked him to that beam and they had crushed the thorns on his head and they had ripped out his beard and beaten him and lashed him with a whip 39 times, ripping the flesh from his back because they put bones and rock in the whip, braid it right in to make sure it's going to do as much excruciating pain as possible. And he said, for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him. And at that very moment when they were doing those things, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't get it. They think they're just killing a flesh and blood man. They don't know. Jesus knew who he was. Paul knew who he was. And the demons would say, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? He would say those to people who still see themselves according to the flesh and not according to being sealed in the Holy Spirit. And when you and I really look at ourselves according to who we are in the Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit in you really lead you. Trust him in you. He'll see to it that other people see him in you. And when they can see him in you, you'll get the same reward Jesus gets and Paul got and Peter got and all of the disciples when they stepped out in faith. But you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it in your own name and your own strength with your own wisdom. You won't, because if you do it in your strength, name, and wisdom, then you're the one that's going to have to keep it alive in your name, strength, and wisdom. But if you do it in his, then it's up to him to birth them and bring them to new life. Are you with me? 4 minutes. I have an eternity. Praise the Lord. Oh, 3 minutes. He says that clock's wrong. Okay, great. Okay, then I'm just going to jump right ahead. I'm going to say this. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to go to verse 15. It says this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. God is our Father. We live under God now. Now the world creeps in fast, you guys. It slips in fast. And it does its best to hypnotize us, paralyze us, and cause us to feel very inefficient. But we keep going if we believe the Lord. Go to 2 Timothy 1:7. This is my last verse, I think. That's the preacher in me, just being honest. 2 Timothy 1:7. Many of you know this by heart. It says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. What kind of spirit has he given us, Timothy? Power and love and a sound mind. Power and love and a sound mind. So the Spirit of God that's placed inside of you is of power and love and a sound mind. That's who will be talking to anyone you meet. No fear. You have what you need. You're anointed, we read today. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're forever sealed in him. He's going to teach you what to say. He's going to show you things about these people that you meet. You're going to get unctions and feelings and inward knowings, and you're going to know how to reach whoever is in front of you. I'm telling you this. You can take this to heaven with you and stand me before the Lord and make me accountable for these words. The Lord is moving in his people. And our times of sitting on our laurels and being afraid and not interested in sharing the gospel is coming to a very quick close. Light and darkness is becoming more and more apparent, and people are becoming more and more lost because good is being called evil, right is being called wrong, and light is being called darkness, and darkness is being called light. So it's a tricky, tricky time, but the Spirit of God is not confused inside of you. He knows who He is, and He's not in the least bit intimidated by somebody else's ignorance. I just want to let you know that. So He will show you how to reach the people, your children, your parents, your loved ones, your neighbors, those that you meet on the highways and the byways. I hope you don't meet anybody on the highway, actually. Call me if you need a ride, okay? But in your life, He'll give you the wisdom if you care enough to not look at yourself, but spend your time with Him. Amen? I love you guys. Can I pray for you? Father, I just lift up this congregation to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for giving us Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that you teach us all things considered the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are in you. You teach us to be transformed in our identity, to be regenerated to new life. And when the Lord returns again, it's you yourself, Holy Spirit, that will transform these lowly bodies and completely, radically alter our identity. And I thank you for that, Lord. Father, I ask that you give courage and strength to each person that can hear my voice, that we would not only be consumed with our own things, but be compassionate towards the people around us, to love the people around us, that we can reach them for your kingdom and for your glory. Thank you for that, Lord. I give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.